I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. The week of July 30th, 2020, Maryland and Washington, D.C. are reporting high levels of COVID in wastewater, but not Pennsylvania or New York. Montgomery County is trying to solve the vacant office space problem by expanding a subsidy program for companies renting office space in the county. What do the U.S. Navy and North Bethesda's Pike and Rose have in common? A new outreach program connects Carderock Naval Surface Warfare Center with this local hotspot. The city of Frederick is poised to become the second Maryland locality to adopt ranked choice voting. Quince Orchard High School proposes a smartphone ban, but how will it be enforced? All stories we worry about nationally, and now you won't miss locally. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program. If your goal is to make a meaningful impact with a career in local, state, or federal government, discover what this degree can do for you. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society functioning precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now. Music for this episode comes from Silver Spring power pop band Airport 77's. Andy Sullivan on vocals and guitar, Chuck Dolan on bass, and John Kelly on drums. The Center for Disease Control's wastewater testing program is showing very high levels of COVID in several states, all of the West Coast, for example. The mountain states are hit pretty bad. But the East Coast, the spread appears to be more variegated. Maryland and Washington, D.C. are very high, followed by Virginia, Delaware, and North Carolina. But surprisingly, Pennsylvania is moderate, and New York, which has 108 testing sites, many more than any other state in the union, has very low counts. Unclear if this is a data lag. In New England, New Hampshire and Massachusetts are very high, but Rhode Island and Vermont are moderate. If you're interested in quick state-by-state breakdown, check the podcast Twitter at IHPPod. Wastewater is believed to be a leading indicator of COVID and precedes increase in symptoms and hospitalization, which has not yet arrived. 2024 COVID variants, including something called FLIRT, appear to be mild. Going forward, it is expected that CDC will recommend combining the COVID and influenza vaccines, but not this election year. Like many other local jurisdictions, Montgomery County, Maryland has seen office space vacancy go up as work from home has expanded. But even before the pandemic, the county had an ambitiously named incentive program for potential office space renters called Make Office Vacancy Extinct. Yes, extinct. The County Council has now expanded and codified the Office Vacancy Extinction Program into law. I spoke with former Montgomery County Economic Development staffer Jacob Sesker, who was there when the original program was built.
When it was originally created, it was a program that was designed to make it easier for Montgomery County office property owners and Montgomery County, just as an economic development interest, to get small new office tenants into office space. $8 per square foot grant, I believe, was the original amount. They had to be new to the market. And it was essentially sort of a no strings attached. If you came in and you brought a copy of your lease and you proved that your lease was long enough, and then you would just essentially get a check. It's really targeting tenants that were not, maybe didn't have the sort of depth of relationships or creditworthiness of some of the larger and more established peers, but also didn't create a set of hurdles and requirements that they needed to comply with that were going to make it difficult to actually get the money spent. So it was very much a sort of get the money into somebody's hands, out the door, and into the economy kind of program.
Was there an ceiling?
It started off at a relatively small amount, maybe went up to $80,000 maximum that an individual business could get. Under the current proposal, I think they're looking at increasing that maximum amount to $150,000 for an individual tenant.
How else has the program evolved over time?
Well, one of the things was a discussion about whether or not it needed to be office space per se. Just generally speaking, in economic development, we try not to incentivize most retail projects, which really are sort of responding to local demand. The demand is either there or it isn't. But when it comes to office users, you've got a very different set of dynamics in the economy. Over a period of time, some users of some adjacent types of spaces have come forward and said, we think we should be eligible to for this program as well.
Like what?
For example, craft alcohol production. They have been talking about opening it up, making sure that it's available to both Class A and Class B office space, you no longer need to be somebody who's signing your first lease in the county.
Jacob Sesker, thank you. In more economic development news, the Pike District Partnership, the North Bethesda Public-Private Urban Development Agency, has concluded an agreement with the local Carter Rock Naval Surface Warfare Center to provide open access venues for local businesses to interact with Carter Rock researchers. Matt Herman is the chair of Pike District Partnership.
All Navy research centers have a tech bridge associated with them. It is the Navy's version of creating an entity that hopefully has space outside of the gate where they can facilitate conversations and engagement to better adapt innovation, right? It's the Navy's attempt to leverage what the commercial sector is doing in an innovative kind of, not just tech, but just anything sort of innovative space, and potentially find ways to partner and leverage that innovation for whatever their requirements and needs are. And so the Capital Tech Bridge, which actually covers a number of different entities in the Capital Region, is housed and run out of the Naval Surface Warfare Center, Carter Rock. And for those of you that take the Clara Barton Parkway, yes, it is all those very long buildings at the very beginning, or I guess at the very end, depending on how you look at it, of the Clara Barton Parkway. So it's in West Bethesda. And it's very much, I mean, it's surrounded by a residential area. It's not, I mean, there's not much else to grow or what have you. And so given that our nonprofit has a real focus on helping to facilitate economic development, we're very supportive of what the county is doing in North Bethesda with the establishment of the Institute for Health Computing and trying to create essentially this kind of innovation area. But we wanted to take it a step further. It's great that we're doing IHC, but we have to think beyond just bioscience and biomedical. To their credit, they already do a lot with MCPS, and they're starting to do more with Montgomery College, and they do stuff with other universities in the region as well. But they were looking for other partners in the county to do and facilitate some of the partnership with businesses. And so because we are not technical experts in all the good things that Carter Rock does, we can help facilitate things like industry days, pitch days, what are called tech scans. This is where you go out and, you know, there's a technology need and you partner generally with one of the MEPs, a manufacturing extension program entity that has tools to go out and see what is in the world of pick a technology. We will host those events in North Bethesda. We will help facilitate them. Because we are a nonprofit, we can do things faster, I would argue better, and differently than government.
Carter Rock is a gated location.
Yes.
And Pike and Rose is not a gated location. Is right. That fundamentally what you're leveraging?
That's a part of it. No, that's 100% a part of it, because there's a couple of reasons. One, getting through the gates can be a pain in the butt. And number two, there are companies that may be multinational, right? They might have a U.S. presence, but also have a foreign presence. When you have a foreign presence, good luck getting onto a base. You may be perfectly cleared hot to do a support of the government, but that becomes a massive barrier. And so having that meeting and collaboration space outside the gate does facilitate these things in a much more collaborative fashion and makes it a hell of a lot easier to do.
Matt Herman, thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
In the city of Frederick, a charter review commission last year unanimously recommended ranked choice voting for the city. And now the Board of Aldermen is expected to vote on the change and likely to make Frederick the second Maryland municipality to adopt ranked choice voting after Tacoma Park. Ranked choice voting is an election methodology where voters rank order their choice of candidates instead of just picking one, and their second and third choices could be counted when the first choice does not make the top two candidates. The process is repeated as necessary to arrive at clearer and bigger mandates, though the process can also be confusing. Walter Olson is a center-right national political commentator who has lived in Frederick for a long time and supported ranked choice voting as a more participatory exercise of democracy.
The city of Frederick recently went through a charter review committee process. This committee made a lot of proposals about elections and the structure of government. And among them were ranked choice voting. The Board of Aldermen, which is the decision maker in whether to take the next step, I was delighted, having advocated this, to see that ranked choice voting was one of the things that where there was apparently unanimous support of the five aldermen.
I take it is your expectation that this is going to pass the Board of Aldermen. Right?
I think it will pass. And I call it an more of an agreement in principle vote. They need to settle on a common plan with Frederick County, which provides the equipment that works from Frederick County's point of view. And it doesn't require them to get a whole bunch of new stuff too fast, only for use by the city, because the city is trying to minimize its costs on this. Now, there are other ways of doing it. Tacoma Park is the only community in Maryland that has used ranked choice voting. As I understand it from speaking to officials there, they went their own way and they basically assemble their own equipment. I don't know whether it's paper ballots or what, just for the municipal things. And that Frederick would like to do it without having to set up a parallel second system. They'd like to do it simply by getting a software update, I believe is what's involved on the system, which requires that the software update be bought. It's not all intrinsic to the machines. You have to buy the extra capability. Not too expensive if you do it that way.
Very interesting. I would think that it'd be hard to integrate, but you know, maybe I'm wrong.
The challenge differs from state to state, probably also from locality to locality. In California, for example, where many, many municipalities have done this, it's probably pretty easy to become the 15th one. Maryland, a little different because the state has not been friendly toward this, although my understanding is that the relatively new state elections director realizes that it's a good idea. Besides Tacoma Park and Frederick, Rockville has been discussing this, and there is quite a bit of interest in Rockville. There's been some discussion lately in Annapolis.
My thought was that the ballot itself would have to be restructured.
My understanding is that you can mark the ovals with the stylus on a different quasi paper, which then prints out as actual paper.
I know you've been working on this for a long time, so congratulations.
Well, the credit certainly goes to many, many other people.
A few weeks ago, we reported that Harford County Board of Education had decided to withdraw an advanced placement AP course in African American Studies from its curriculum in the next school year. Harford is one of Maryland's most conservative counties, and the AP course was seen as being unproductive. It seems that the school board has decided to reverse its decision and will allow the course to be offered in the school year 2024-25. In the ongoing wars over cell phones in schools, Quince Orchard High School in Montgomery County has announced that it will enforce a new no-phone rule during the instructional day in the upcoming school year. Phones present a particular dilemma. Parents love it when schools have a no-phone policy, but nevertheless give their children smartphones to bring to school. Many parents are concerned about emergencies and keeping direct communication with their students. Many teachers decry students being able to use smartphones in classrooms, but many others use phones for instructional purposes, such as taking quick quizzes. Students tend to become upset when separated from their phones. How this rule is going to be enforced is going to be instructive for school climate next year. That's all for this episode. Be sure to check out our feature interview series that comes out Friday mornings. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, an assistant producer, Adama Gay, with support from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Silver Spring power pop band, Airport 77s. Andy Sullivan on vocals and guitar, Chuck Dolan on bass, and John Kelly on the drums. The songs come from their album, We Realize You Have a Choice. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihbpod.org. See you next time. There's a lot of things wrong this summer. A lot of things wrong this summer. It's true. The whole